ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयाद्विदरदश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वराट् तेने ब्रह्म हृदा या आदिकवये मुह्यन्दियल्सूरया। तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहगं सत्यं परं धीमहि। धर्मप्रोज्झितकैदवोऽत्र परमो निर्मल्सराणां सतां वेद्यं वास्तवम् अत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम्। श्रीमल्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यमरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणाल्। निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतं द्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः। सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमाम्। यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेतम् अपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकातरमाज्जुहावाम् पुत्रेति तन्मयतया तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि। यस्वानुभावम् अखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिथिदीर्षदां तमोन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेल्। कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदा मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि कापि। नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमाम्। वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णशा यासं हरिकथोद्गीतं पुनाधि भुवनत्रयं श्रीगोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमाम्। सो लास्ट् सण्डे वि सो दट् कृष्ण हेड् टु after the appearance in Gokul, already three of the demonic personalities arrived in Gokul with the intention of killing Krishna. And on the sixth day, Putana came to Gokul, and on the 84th day, Shakatasura came, and just after a few days than that, just before Krishna was a year old, Trinavarta came to kill Krishna. So they were all Kamsa's associates, and they were trying to please their boss because already Kamsa has smelled that probably the what Durga Devi has announced at the time of appearance, that your killer is already born. And Kamsa was getting a bit nervous about the situation, but still he was discussing with his ministers how to deal with the situation. And one after the other, Kamsa's associates like Pralamba, Chanura, all the advisors, they were giving instructions, and they had come to the conclusion that they should kill all the babies who were born at that time, a few days before, and make sure that no one has the opportunity to live in this world. And this was Kamsa's plan. So anyway, after Tanavarta's killing of Tanavarta, it came to the point that Kamkrishna was almost a year old by now. The baby has started moving around in the house, giving a lot of pleasure to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi. But still, what is surprising is that this ceremony of giving the name, known in the Shastras as Namakaranam, or in English call it as christening has not happened for the baby. And there was a reason why Nanda Maharaj could not perform the christening ceremony of Krishna. The reason for that was that Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, they belong to two different groups, in the sense that Nanda Maharaj had his Purohit or priest who actually performed all the ceremonies for Nanda Maharaj. His name was Shandilya Rishi. This sage Shandilya Rishi, he was available to perform Krishna's christening or christening ceremony. But Nanda Maharaj at that point thought in his mind that in his own house, Vasudev's one son is growing up, which was Balaram. He was referring to Balaram. So at this point in time, you have to remember that Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi's understanding is that Krishna was their baby and Balaram was Vasudev and Devaki's their son. So it is with this understanding that they are growing up in their house. So Nanda Maharaj wanted to perform the ceremony, but then he thought for a moment and he decided that there will be a problem if he does that, because if he calls a Shandilya Rishi and performs the christening of Krishna, then it could cause a disturbance in Rohini's mind, because Rohini will think that my boy has not gone through the ceremony, any of the purificatory ceremonies, because his father is in the jail and he was not in a position to do anything about it, and therefore it will cause some distress to Rohini. And if a little distress happens to Rohini, that distress will, if that distress affects my son Krishna, that is not a good thing. So Nanda Maharaj was so considerate in his mind, such a cultured person he was, that he felt that if I do something, it should not upset Rohini Devi. Rohini's son Balaram was only a few months older than Krishna, and none of the ceremonies have been done for Balaram. So we will wait till we get the right person, which is Vasudev's priest or Vasudev's Purohit. Gargamuni comes in. So Gargamuni has not come, and Gargamuni has not been advised by anybody, that although Gargamuni was very much aware that Vasudev's one son Balaram is growing up in Nanda Maharaj's home as the son of Rohini Devi. So Rohini was also looking forward to the visit of Gargamuni, and Nanda Maharaj thought, if Gargamuni comes in, somehow we will organize a ceremony in such a way that he could perform the christening of both Krishna and Balaram. So this was in the mind of Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj thought, let the proper time come and then we will do that. And that is why it prolonged to such a long time, almost a year, before this ceremony of or christening happened to Krishna and Balaram. Generally, it's not usual that you wait such a long time for the naming the child. After they are born, in a few months at least, it will happen. But it was almost a year now that this has not happened, and this was the reason for not happening, that Nanda Maharaj felt in his mind that if without Balaram's christening happens and if Krishna is christened, that will cause some distress for Rohini Devi, and that distress may affect my own son Krishna. So anyway, one day by arrangement, Gargamuni walked into the house. Bhagavatam says, Vasudeva prajodidaha. Vasudeva has encouraged Gargamuni to go to the ashram and to go to Nanda Maharaj's home and to see his son. In fact, Vasudeva was aware that two of his sons are growing up there, both Balaram and Krishna. But Vasudeva was very much anxious to know what their situation is. So he actually arranged in such a way, Vasudeva prajodida. that Vasudeva's encouragement, Gargamini one day arrived in Nanda Maharaj's home. So prior to this happened, as soon as Trinavarta was killed in the house, it so happened that one day Yashoda Mai was looking, keeping Krishna on her lap and was looking at that face and enjoying that beauty for a very, very long time. She fed milk to Krishna, and suddenly Krishna also started looking at Yashoda's face, and he noticed that Yashoda has been getting a little bit concerned about, she has been thinking all the time in her mind, who is this personality who is lying on my lap? And this thought was going through Yashoda's mind for a while after the two incidents, especially with Shakadasura and also with Putana. And now that with Trinavarta, it has become a little more intense in her mind. She started thinking, who is exactly is this personality? I would like to know. And she was thinking all these things and looking at Krishna's face. So if my mother wants to know who I am, let her know that. And in that pretext, Krishna suddenly yawned. And when he yawned, Yashoda Devi looked at Krishna's face, Krishna's teeth, and when Krishna opened the mouth, she could see was all the 14 planetary systems within the mouth of Krishna. And when she saw that, Krishna looked at Yashoda's face and thought, have you understood who I am now? That all this material world and the spiritual world is within me. This was Krishna's mood at that time while looking at Yashoda's face. So Yashoda Devi at that point got completely perplexed, seeing the whole scene inside Krishna's mouth and not knowing what to do. And she was looking looking very, very disturbed, and suddenly Krishna brought her back into the original consciousness by asking her to be breastfed again, him to be breastfed. And Yashoda started feeding him again the milk. So Krishna was drinking the milk, and at that time Yashoda called for the help of Rohini. Rohini came forward, and Yashoda mentioned to Rohini that I do not know what is happening to me. Suddenly Krishna has opened his mouth and I could see the whole creation inside his mouth. Rohini said, no, you must have mistaken something. Maybe at that time the mothers have a tendency to check whether the teeth is coming out or not. So Rohini wanted to check whether Krishna's teeth was coming out. She decided to put her finger in and check whether the teeth started building up inside. And when Rohini put her finger in, Krishna gave a goodbye to that finger. And as soon as Krishna bit the finger, Rohini said to Yashoda, now I know what has happened. He must have bit your finger as well so strongly. I have seen all the three planetary systems straight away with the pain what she was experiencing. So this is what has happened. Anyway, Yashoda and Rohini suddenly remembered that this person, they were talking to each other, that it's not a bad thing if we get a good astrologer. We can find out about him, about his past and who he is. But still, definitely, he is not a normal person. He seems to have some unusual characteristics which we don't see in any other babies. So with all these different thoughts going through their mind, Yashoda and Rohini were there, and it was at that time one day Gargamuni walked into the house. Vasudeva prajoditam, that Vasudevas encouraged him to go there to find out and to do what is necessary. When Gargamuni came into the house, at that time Nanda Maharaj was at home. Nanda Maharaj received Gargamuni very nicely and asked him if he could perform this christening of Krishna and Balaram at the same time. Gargamuni straight away said, no, I can't do that because I have many, many reasons for not doing it, and you should not insist on this. And Nanda Maharaj explained to Gargamuni that the situation is like this, that my son, I have been waiting to get him christened, but because Balaram was there and since you are not available, I have been holding it for such a long time. Now that you happen to be here, it will be nicer if you do the christening for both Balaram and Krishna. So eventually Gargamuni accepted on certain conditions how the christening could be done. Gargamuni said to Nanda Maharaj, if you can accept my terms and conditions, then I am willing to do that, he said. Nanda Maharaj said, there is no problem. Nanda Maharaj is a very wealthy person. So Nanda Maharaj was thinking that probably Gargamuni is going to give a big list of his demands, and he will have to meet with like lot of charities, big feast, all these things were going through the mind of Nanda Maharaj. So Nanda Maharaj said to him, That are you expecting that a feast, what quantity of rice should be cooked for the feast? In that way, Nandamaharaj started his conversation. Thousands of kilos of rice he was willing to get cooked and a big feast to be organized. And you can imagine, Nandamaharaj's home was always a festival. Ever since Krishna has appeared, not only even before that, the system in the society was, they had always some festival every day. And it is essential, these festivals in a human society, to remind the living entity that we are always under the shelter of the Supreme Lord. And that as a reminder of this, these festivals are celebrated. That our protection, our living, our maintenance and survival in this world is completely under the shelter of Krishna. So normally, in normal situation, in Nandamaharaj's home, different festivals were celebrated one after the other. And every day was virtually a festival. And a festival means, main thing was a feast, which is along with the festival. So this big feast was organized by Nandamaharaj in such a way. And he started requesting Gargamuni that we are going to have a very, very big feast. And Gargamuni said straight away, no, I am not looking to have any feast in this house today. On the other hand, Gargamuni's demand was everybody should be immediately asked to leave the house, and they wanted to close the door straight away. So Gargamuni said this to Nandamaharaj. Nandamaharaj said, why? Why should we do that? At that time, Gargamuni had a very private conversation with Nandamaharaj of what happened. That generally, because there were so many feasts happening, normally what does feast mean? Feast means that there will be a lot of people will come to the house. And not only they come, when they come for this feast, they will have the feast today in Gargamuni's house, and tomorrow the feast will be somebody else's house. So who are the people who mostly come for the feast? They are mostly Brahmanas. And these Brahmanas, they have a tendency, they'll come, they'll have the feast, and then they will go to the next day, another house, and they will meet again there, and they will discuss each other, where was yesterday, where was the feast. So this is natural, Brahmana, Bhojana, Priyaha, that they are very fond of eating, they love to eat, and they love to eat a lot of nice prasadam and feast, this is in their nature. So these Brahmanas, they will discuss these things, and they will also have this discussion taken away to another house later on. So Nandamaharaj was not thinking in those lines, but Gargamuni could see the problem that is going to bring. That if these people who have come to have the feast today here, they will go to the next house, another house, and they will have another meeting there. And in that meeting, they will discuss about the feast in Nandamaharaj's home. And normally, they will say that what was the occasion for the feast. So somebody will say the occasion was that was it Nandamaharaj's 60th birthday, Shashtipurti or something. So no, the other Brahmana will say, no, it was not that. It was that the baby who was lying flat on his back, now is turned down and is lying on his friend. So there was a feast for that as well. So somewhere or the other, the feast was going on constantly. So who was the priest who has performed the ceremony? This question will come up. And then they will say, oh, it was Gargamuni. So the Brahmana will say, Gargamuni, why Gargamuni had come there? Gargamuni is not Nandamaharaj's priest. Gargamuni is Vasudeva's priest. Why has he come there? So like this conversation will continue, and eventually this will reach in the ears of Kamsa as well. And if that happens, it may damage the child's life here, Krishna's life in Nandamaharaj's home. So Gargamuni, who could see a little bit more further, he immediately sensed this problem. And because of that, he told Nandamaharaj that he would prefer that nobody is present in the house when the christening ceremony happens. So Nandamaharaj could at that point understand the seriousness of it. And he said that if that is the case, at least there should be a ceremony of purification of the place when this christening ceremony happens. So generally it is referred to the word in the Shastra is Punyaham. Punyaham means that ceremony whereby a particular place is purified. The places are purified. The places are purified by this Punyaham ceremony, and at least Nandamaharaj expected that such a ceremony should be performed. But Gargamuni immediately said to Nandamaharaj, there was no need of performing the ceremony because this purification is only necessary in certain places. And certain places, according to Shastra, doesn't require a purification. For example, Goshala, where there is cow shed, where cows are brought up. There no purification is necessary because this place never gets impure by the presence of the cows. Number one. Number two, where tulsi is growing, tulsi plant is growing, no purification is necessary. Automatically the place is always pure. Similarly, Salagram Shila, when Salagram Shila is worshipped somewhere, that place doesn't require any purification. That place is automatically pure. So Punyaham or this purificatory ceremony is not performed for these places. Punyaham is not performed for these places. And this was the Gargamuni's instruction to Nanda Maharaj. And on that basis, it was agreed that nobody need to be in the house. So Nanda Maharaj instructed Yashoda Devi to send away all the gopis from inside the house, outside, and also told all the cowherd men to leave the home. Nanda Maharaj's home was a big home, big house, and a lot of people were present there. And all these visitors who have come to see Krishna and Balaram, they were always in the house. And when Nanda Maharaj instructed Yashoda Devi, Yashoda Devi told all the gopis to leave the house. So the gopis started questioning, why should we leave now the house? Yashoda told them, you don't have to ask any question, just get out of the place. And she was so heavy with them that she told them, you should immediately leave without asking any further questions. And as soon as they all left, she locked the door from inside, and it was only now Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi, Krishna, Balaram and Rohini. So, and Gargamuni. There were six people inside the house. There was nobody. The two babies and the four adults. That's all. They were all in the house. So Gargamuni was satisfied. So Gargamuni decided to perform this christening ceremony in the Goshala, in the cow shed, where there was a wealthy man, and Nanda Maharaj had plenty of cows in the morning. When he comes out of the house, first he looks at the cows. He wakes up in the morning, the first thing he sees is his cows. He was so fond of his cows, and he maintained these cows right in front of his house, built nicely, so he could look at them all the time. So with this Nanda Maharaj affectionate mood and Gargamuni's instructive words, how the naming ceremony started. So when Gargamuni sat down cross-legged, and next to Gargamuni, Nanda Maharaj also sat down. So Nanda Maharaj told Rohini Devi first to bring Balaram. Balaram was brought in. So when Balaram was brought in, Balaram stayed in Gargamuni's lap very peacefully, did not create any problem for Gargamuni. Not only that, Gargamuni looked at Balaram's face and loudly and quietly in both ears called him the name Rama, because Rama means that one who gives pleasure to others, and that is why this personality, the Gargamuni gave the name as Rama. And because he is very powerful and strong, he will also be called as Bala, or and together he was called as Balaram. So when Gargamuni first gave the name to Balaram, the naming ceremony was over, and after that Gargamuni handed over Balaram to Rohini Devi. Rohini took Balaram in her hands and again took Balaram to the court. And at that time Nanda Maharaj told Yashoda Devi, bring our baby now, let us have the christening of Krishna. So when the baby was brought forward by Yashoda Devi, Yashoda brought Krishna and gave to Gargamuni, and Gargamuni kept Krishna on his lap. And after Krishna was kept on the lap, Gargamuni started thinking in his mind, what name should I give it to him? Generally, today we have a system, the parents decide what name should be given to the child. But in the Vedic tradition, it is not so. The parents never decide what name should be given to the child. It is the acharya's duty to give a name to the child, and that was the system, and that was the proper way of doing it. But today that system doesn't exist. Today what happens is the parents look at the list, and so many lists are available in the market and in the shops, and then he talks to some people and he finds some name, and he will eventually stamp it on the child with that name. And sometimes the name also will not reflect the child's life or the personality behind that name. And is it so important to find out how a name should be given to the child? According to Shastras, yes, it is. Because if you give a wrong name to the child, that is why these ceremonies are so important. If you give a wrong name to the child, when the child grows up and eventually find that he doesn't like the name, then also it's not so good, number one. Number two, sometimes whatever name is given to the child, the name should actually reflect that child's life or the child's, one should know the child's past and the future to give the name to the child. And generally, the acharyas, most of them were personalities who could by astrology able to know the child's past and future and select a suitable name for the child. Unfortunately, today that system is gone, that doesn't exist anymore. And normally what we find is that the parents look for some name and they will hand over that name to the child, and sometimes it happens to be blunders as well. For example, there was one instance we saw, one name was given to the child when parents have selected a name. The name should be normally short, it should not be too long a name so that easily one can call the child by the name. That's number one. Now, secondly, the name also should carry some good useful meaning for the name. But one parent has selected a name, Nishad, for the child. Now, the parents have never thought about it. What does that word mean, ultimately, Nishad? So at that time, what you think is, at least by Krishna's grace in the future, when the child grows up, he doesn't study Sanskrit. Because if he find out what the meaning of the word Nishad is, then he will think himself that these parents must have been really stupid to give me that name. The word Nishad means hunter, actually. One who hunts the animals in the forest, he is called as Nishad. So like this, there are so many mistakes can happen while giving the name. And it's necessary that normally the acharya select the name. So anyway, Gargamuni was thinking, what name should I give to this child? Kathamasya nama kurve sahasra namno anandanamno va. That Gargamuni know this child who was lying on his lap, and he was looking and thinking like this. Kathamasya nama kurve, what name shall I give it to this baby? Sahasra namno anandanamno va. He has got thousands of names, sahasra namno, and in addition to that thousands of names, ananda namno vam, that many other names which are not included in the thousand names also exist. So what name shall I give it to this child? Kathamasya nama kurve sahasra namno ananda namno vam. So these thoughts were going through Gargamuni's mind. Gargamuni was actually meditating on the Supreme Lord to give him guidance from within, what name he should give it to the baby. So in these thoughts, Gargamuni was completely immersed, and he was thinking very deeply about it, and he was very quiet. And by now, the baby in the lap was getting a bit restless. He was thinking that, why is he taking so much time? I should wake him, or maybe he's sleeping. With these thoughts, that when if you'll see this photograph in Krishna book, you will see Gargamuni has a huge white beard, and Krishna straight away took his right leg and kicked him, and the right leg went into this beard and got stuck inside. So when this leg got stuck in the beard, Gargamuni immediately woke up from his samadhi and saw this. And all he could do was quietly, carefully take out all his hair from Krishna's right leg, and some thinking that the baby, he will probably feel pain. And all this was in Gargamuni's mind. Quietly he pulled out the right leg. As soon as he pulled out the right leg, Krishna put the left leg into the beard. And Gargamuni had such a big beard. You can see that picture in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada has specifically shown that photograph in the Srimad Bhagavatam to understand that this pastime between Krishna and Gargamuni was very, very interesting. Kathamasya nama kurve sahasra namno ananda namno vam. What name should I give it to this baby? And this is what was going through Gargamuni's mind. Kathamasya nama kurve, what name shall I give it to him? So again, Gargamuni was thinking like this, and at that time, Krishna was decided to threaten Gargamuni in a slight way. And the threatening happened in a little way. By the time both the legs were taken out of from the beard, Krishna put his right hand and pulled the beard straight away. And as soon as he started pulling the beard down, Gagamani was getting a little bit nervous that Krishna is telling me something now that I should act very fast. And this is one nature with Krishna. When Krishna wants something, it should be done immediately. He doesn't want any delay on anything. So this is just Krishna's nature. You can see that in temples also. When Krishna wants, Janmashtami should be celebrated in a big scale. Immediately the activities begin. And there will be no end till the Janmashtami is over. And everyone gets pulled into it, somehow or the other. Nobody can stay out of it. Somehow everyone who wants to come and see Krishna Janmashtami day has to understand that it is Krishna's desire that's getting fulfilled. And all the living entities are just helpless, just according to act of Krishna's desire. So that is exactly what was happening. Kadhamasya nama gurve sahasranam no anandanam no vam. That what name shall I give it to him? And in this thought, Krishna was pulling Gargamani's beard closer. So at that time, idi noonam chakre Gargamani tava nama nama rahasi vibhom. In the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find gudho rahasi bhalayom. That the name was given to Krishna in very confidence. This was at that time, the name was given to him, Gudo Rehasi Bhalayom. That very confidentially, Gargamuni decided at that time to give the word, name Krishna to him, Krishna to the baby. Krishidadu Nagarabhyam, Sattanandalpadam Kilabhilabal, Jagadagarshitvamva, Kadaya Krishi, Krishna Namade Vedanol. Now, this word Krishna, how did that come to Gargamuni? Gargamuni taught in his mind. He got this word immediately by Krishna's desire from within. From the within the heart of Gargamuni, the words came to his tongue. Krishidhadu nagarabhyam sattanandalpadam kilabhilabal. The word Krishna has got two words, Krish and Na. When you combine these two words, actually the meaning is Sachidanandam, eternal, blissful and knowledge. This is exactly the meaning. This is one meaning of the word Krishna. Krishidhadu nagarabhyam sattanandalpadam kilabhilabal jagadagarshitvam kadaya krishi krishna namade vedanol. That why was this name given? Because this name has so many other meaning. One meaning is that Krishna means all attractive. All attractive means is he has this nature in Krishna to pull people towards him. And you can see that in practical life also. One who has come to see Krishna at the temple will never forget that. Even if he wants to stay away, sometimes it is very difficult because Krishna pulls him towards him all the time. This, anybody who has experienced this in life can more or less accept this point that Krishna has this nature, karshanam. Karshanam means to pull towards him. Therefore the word Krishna has come. Krishna has pulled Gargamuni's beard also. So that was another reason why the word was come out as Krishna. Now, in addition to that, Krishna has also another thing, another explanation has been given to this. Jagadagarshitvamva kadaya krishi krishna namate vedanol. That, what is that? Jagadagarshitvamva, that one who is capable of removing all the distress of the living entities. This is another one who is able to suck or take out all the distress of the living entities. Why does a human society suffer different distresses? Different distresses comes from sinful activities. It is the reactions of sinful activities that manifest in the form of distress to living entity. So one who can take away all the distress, in other words, one who can take out all the sinful activities or sinful reactions of the human society, that is Krishna. Jagadakagarshitvamva, for the whole universe, who can remove all the distresses? Kadaya Krishi, Krishna Namade Vedanol. That the sage Gargamuni, the Acharya said to them that I have given this word Krishna, Krishna to this baby, and very loudly and very quietly Gargamuni announced these words, two words in Krishna's to both the ears. And that is how that name giving ceremony or christening ceremony of Krishna happened. That when Krishna heard this name, Krishna, Krishna, he was told twice in both the ears by Gargamuni. And Yashoda Devi, when all these things were happening, that Yashoda Devi looked at Rohini's face and said to her that when Balaram was in Gargamuni's lap, he did not create any problem. He was very peaceful. But when Krishna was in Gargamuni's lap, all these problems, what he has created for Gargamuni with his legs and feet, When Yashoda Devi saw that, Yashoda had to laugh. She could not resist herself. And she looked at Rohini Devi and said to her that this boy seems to be that he is always going to give a lot of trouble to me in the future, seeing these activities of Krishna in the lab. Anyway, Jagamuni gave that name to Krishna, and Nanda Maharaj was very pleased with the ceremony. What has happened at that time? And after this ceremony was over, there is another part to it, to this ceremony. That name giving is one thing, that is, Namakaranam is one side of the ceremony. Generally, when the Namakaranam ceremony is performed, along with that, if most of the acharyas have had good knowledge of the astrology as well, or in other words, Jyotisham. Jyotisham is in the Shastras, it's known as Hora Shastram. And Gargamuni has written books on the Hora Shastram, or this Jyotisha, or this astrological science. And because he was an authority, Nanda Maharaj thought that this is an opportunity to ask Gargamuni, what is the history of this child, or what his future will be. So it is like a normal parents, when they meet a nice astrologer, it's their desire to find out from the astrologer, from the child's horoscope, how to read the horoscope, and to find out from the astrologer what his past was, what his future will be. So with all these things in mind, Nanda Maharaj requested Gargamuni if he could read his horoscope. And at that time, Gargamuni thought for a while and decided, thought himself, that normally you read the horoscope for a person who has got birth. But here is a personality who has neither birth nor death. So what horoscope can I read about him? This is what is going through Gargamuni's mind. But still, it was an opportunity to read the horoscope. Gargamuni asked Nanda Maharaj to bring the time of birth and the day of birth and all the details, what they require for calculating the astrological chart. And immediately Nanda Maharaj went inside the home and brought all the details. He had all the details when Balaram was born. He has collected the details from Rohini of Balaram's appearance, day, time, everything. Similarly for Krishna also. And he brought all the information and gave it to Gargamuni. So when Gargamuni got the details of the birth, then immediately he made the chart. They have a certain method of calculating from the time of birth the different position of the planets, and also the different time periods in the baby's life, what he is going to do, and so many things. He started looking at both the baby's horoscope. So when he read the horoscope, he could see there were many things which were common to both the children, both the babies. Balaram and Krishna, both of them had a very long lifespan. Both of them had a very strong health and body condition. Both of them had a lot of opulences. So many things were common for both the babies. But one point, Gargamuni said to Nanda Maharaj, but this child or this baby who was born on the Ashtami day or on the Rohini star, he has something more than the other child. So naturally it was their baby, and Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda wanted to know, what is that speciality with our baby? And Nanda Maharaj, Gargamuni thought at that point, maybe I should elaborate this point a little bit more in detail to Nanda Maharaj. And he said to Nanda Maharaj that anybody who tries to give, who loves this child in their life, will never experience distress in this world. He will be free from any distress that will come from Maya. Maya is the one that actually gives us all the distress in this world in different forms. So that distress will not happen to that baby, to that person who loves this child. On the other hand, if anybody tries to give trouble to this child, this baby, he will not see his head anymore. And this was the words he has used. Snihyadi yastava putre druhyadi sanamayigai punashogaihi. That if somebody tries to love him, somebody tries to show affection to him and being affectionate to him, he will never experience any distress in this world. This was the instruction from Gargamuni to Nanda Maharaj. Snihyadi yastava putre muhyadi sanamayigai punashogaihi druhyadi yasadunashe If we try to give trouble to him, trouble to this baby, then druhyade yasadu nashye, he will immediately be, his head will be gone. Ityavadal tuye krishi krishivaryaham, that sage, the great sage Gargamuni, said this to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi. So Krishna is listening to all this reading of his horoscope, and he was enjoying that. Why was Krishna enjoying this horoscope reading? There is a reason behind it. That this Gargamuni has opened up a new chapter in Krishna's life, in the sense that Krishna was thinking, today I am lying in this cot like this, but after a few months or a few years, I will grow up, I will become a big boy, and this will give me a freedom. I can go to anybody's house and do anything what I want. So who gave this freedom to Krishna? Gargamuni has given this through this horoscope reading. So Krishna has recognized that if Gargamuni, by reading this horoscope, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda were a little bit frightened. So there was a conversation between Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Nanda Maharaj told Yashoda that, Yashoda, you should be always careful while dealing with him, that sometimes he will upset you. You will take the stick and you will try to punish him. I will not be here, and something will happen and your head will be gone. And when I come back, you won't be there, and that will not be a very nice situation. So Nanda Maharaj told this to Yashoda. So Yashoda also has become a little bit careful what to do with Krishna. And Krishna thought in his mind that this Gargamuni has done me a huge favor through this horoscope reading. Snihyadi yastava putre mukhyadi sanama yigai punashogaihi. That these two lines, that one who loves Krishna, he will not experience any of the distress in this world. You can see this also from these words. There is something more to it than that. Generally, most of our love and affection in this world, we shower on somebody else. We want to be affectionate to so many people in this world. And the result of all that affection or all the love we show to others, in most of the cases, not only most cases, in almost all cases, at the end, it ends up in distress. This is, everybody knows this. One who is thoughtful, one who can see these things clearly, can experience this. That in the early days, when we grow up as children, the parents have shown a lot of affection and love to the child. But what was the result at the end? The parents were separated. And one day, in that separation, has brought them distress to the person. So he's not able to feel any more affection towards those people, towards the parents. So from the early days in life itself, in our life also, if you look at it, that our love and affection towards others, what we have shown in this world, in almost all cases, it ends up in some frustration or distress. Now after the childhood, after the parents were left this world, or even before that, then we felt that on being alone in this world is not a very happy situation. So we decided, the man decides that, oh, I will have a partner or a wife to give me some association. And because this loving propensity is in everyone and that cannot be taken out, so the man decides to get a wife, or otherwise, the vice versa, the wife also likes to get a husband. So this is the normal way in the material world we relate with each other. So they get a wife or a husband, and in course of time, sometimes it doesn't last very long, it finishes early. But many instances, even if it lasts long, after some time, due to various material reasons or due to circumstances, that relationship eventually breaks up. And what does that bring in at the end? Again, distress. So first, initially, the love and affection from the parents, that was gone. Distress has come in. Later on, the relationship with the wife or a husband, eventually that also brings in distress. Then later on, children have come. From the relationship, children were born. And the children, when they suffer different problems, either when they have some difficulties in life, or when they don't listen to the parents, or the parents find that they are not listening to them or not going in the right direction, then the parents get concerned about it. That also brings distress to them. So in other words, wherever we impose our love and affection in this world, ultimately what the result is, distress. There is no question about it. Srimad Bhagavatam says, love this baby Krishna, you won't feel distress. So this is the difference. Nishyadi yastava putre muhyadi sanamayigai punashogaihi. That distress won't come to you if you love Krishna. If you love anybody else in this world, the result is distress. Prabhupada said in many, many instances, love is for Krishna, nobody else. If you want to love somebody, love Krishna. Prabhupada repeatedly said this in many instances because snishyadi yastava putre muhyadi punanayigai nashogaihi. Maya, the shogam, the distress that comes from Maya will not come to a person because this relationship with Krishna is permanent. It is not temporary like the relationship we had with the parents, wife or the children. That relationship is long lasting. It goes life after life. Even in the spiritual world, it continues forever. And that is the greatness of this relationship with Krishna. Snishyadi yastava putre, one who loves your child, one who shows this affection to the child, druhyadi sapuna mayigai nashogaihi. That shogam or distress that comes from Maya will not touch that person. So this point was put across by Gargamuni very strongly to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Druhyadi yastadu nashye, if somebody tries to give trouble to him, trouble to this child, ityamadal tve mahatvam rishi vairyaham, that he will be completely destroyed, his head will be gone. This is how Gargamuni spoke about the result of the reading of this horoscope. But along with that, he also said a few more things, that after the appearance of this baby, now the astrologer's duty is also that when he reads the horoscope, he has to ask questions to the parents, that what he has forecasting and what he has spoken about the past, is that true or not? So Gargamuni straight away asked Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda and Rohini, that when after this baby has born, has anybody felt any distress here? So Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and Rohini started looking at each other. So there was no distress for them. They were enjoying a tremendous happiness ever since Krishna has come. Not only that, when they thought about anybody in the village where anybody was feeling any distress, nobody had anything to say, because ever since Krishna has appeared in that Gokul, all the cowherd men and the gopis, it was like a festival for them. They never knew what material distress, what we feel in this world. They never experienced that. So these gopis and Nanda Maharaj and the gopis and the cowherd men, they have never experienced any distress. Now Gargamuni also wanted to say a few more things. So looking into the horoscope, Gargamuni said to them that after this child has appeared, was there any presence of some demonic persons here who tried to give trouble to this child? Because there is, I can see two or three instances here, that somebody has come with the intention of killing him or giving trouble to him, and they all have lost their head. And he started reading out all these things. And at that time, Yashoda looked at Rohini and started quietly saying, Putana, Putana. She started repeating this. Immediately Gargamuni heard that and said, yes, Putana. Putana means, the word itself means one who is impure, who is not na puta, or which is not pure. So in that way, immediately Gargamuni and Yashoda Devi could understand that what Gargamuni was talking about was about the incident with Putana and then about Shakadasura and Tanavarta. So all these things were brought up by Gargamuni, and it was explained in this way to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. So Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda listened to all these things. They were very, very pleased with hearing the horoscope of Krishna. And at the same time, they spoke to each other about how careful they have to be in the future. We do not know why, from that day onwards, Nanda Maharaj by nature itself is a very, very kind and soft person, very soft-hearted person, because he was a nice devotee, and that is why his nature is also very soft. And not only that, never in his life once Nanda Maharaj shown a black face to Krishna, nor he chastised him once. He just always listened to what Krishna said, and he did. Whether it was referring to Lord Indra or referring to somebody else, it doesn't matter. Whatever Krishna says, that is the ultimate word. This was such a fortunate person, he was, Nanda Maharaj. Anyway, Krishna heard all this horoscope reading, and although the name christening ceremony was over, the horoscope was read. So that means there are two incidents now on two accounts. After all the ceremonies were done, acharyas have to be given the dakshina, or they have to give this, hand over the presents to Gargamuni. Nanda Maharaj, no doubt, he was a very wealthy person, and he was willing to give a large amount of gold, jewelry, cows, and clothes, fresh clothes, everything to Gargamuni in presence. So he presented all these to Gargamuni. But at that time, Krishna was thinking something in his mind. Krishna's mind was going back in a different way. This Gargamuni has done me a great favor by reading this horoscope. More than the christening ceremony, what Krishna enjoyed was the horoscope reading. Because through horoscope reading, this gave the license to Krishna that as soon as he gets bigger, he can do what he wants. That freedom, Krishna has got it from Gargamuni's horoscope reading. I will go, and that's exactly what happened. When he grew up, he started visiting the gopis' homes. And wherever he goes, he could break any pot he wanted, take as much milk or butter, whatever he wants, and he gives some trouble to the gopis and walk out from there. In Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find in the 8th chapter, in the 10th canto, what all Krishna did in the gopis' houses. And if you start reading through that, you could believe that Krishna was so naughty, more naughty than any other child you can imagine in his dealings with the gopis. So Krishna has got this license for doing this, all this from Gargamuni. Because whatever happens, nobody will do anything. They were frightened. As soon as this christening ceremony was over, Krishna thought in his mind that Yashoda Devi will open the door. As soon as she opens the door, all the cowherd men and the gopis will come inside. And when they come inside, first thing they want to know what was going on inside. This is natural for them. So they will ask Yashoda what was happening inside. Yashoda will tell them that if something which was I could disclose easily like that, I would have told you. But I'm not going to tell you what we were doing inside. Yashoda won't say. But then at the end, which mother can stay quiet for a long time about her own son's her own son's christening? So eventually Yashoda will say to the gopis, this is what Gargamuni has said. Gargamuni has read, the name Krishna was given, and the horoscope was read, and the horoscope reads like this: Snihyadi yastava putre mukhyadi punamai gai nashogehi druhyadi yasadunashye. As far as gopis are concerned, this was more important, because Yashoda will say this to the gopis, and gopis will understand that Gargamuni has told that if we beat Krishna or if we try to be heavy with Krishna, you will lose your head. So this was told to the gopis indirectly by Gargamuni. So since Gargamuni has said this, it has given a freedom to Krishna to go to anybody, any gopi's house, break any pot, take whatever he wants from the house and give some, create some problems in the house and then leave. So this is what we find. So now that two things have happened, the name, the christening ceremony and reading the horoscope. Daddy has given enough presents to, the father has given enough presents to Gargamuni. But by my own way, I wanted to give some presents to him when I grow up. Krishna thought like this. And when Krishna thought like this, he kept it in his head for a long time. Did he give these presents to Gargamuni later? He gave a present to Gargamuni in the later days. And that is that presence is what is known in the Sanskrit literature as Garga Samhita or Garga Bhagavatam. So Gargamuni got that ability to write this particular Bhagavatam on Krishna, where only about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes with Radharani and all the childhood pastimes and all the beautiful pastimes, his associates, friends, everybody, all these things comes in this book, Garga Samhita or Garga Bhagavatam. And this was the present. This was the present what Krishna gave to Gargamuni at that time. Krishna never forgot that Krishna never forgot that to show his gratitude to Gargamuni, to explain all the pastimes of Krishna in the most beautiful way, which was happened by Gargamuni's this book known as Garga Bhagavatam. And this Garga Bhagavatam has been a great inspiration. And it is from great Garga Bhagavatam that most of a lot of information what we see in the Virupa Goswami's and Sanatana Goswami's books about Krishna's childhood pastimes, it comes from this book. That is why when referring to these words of Krishna, the two letters Krishna, Krishidhatu Nagarabhyam Sattanandalpadam Kilabhilabal Jagadakarshitvam Krishna Namade Vedanol. And in the same point, when Virupa Goswami wanted to describe that, he mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will find these words are quoted. Tunde tandavinim yatim vidanude tundavali labdhaye. That Rupa Goswami is explaining the sweetness of the word Krishna. The word Krishna is such, when it starts dancing on the tongue, Rupa Goswami was chanting the holy name intensely. And when he has reached that stage of bhava, he has to recognize this. When the words Krishna was dancing on the tongue, he desires that I may have millions of tongues. Tunde tanda vinimradim vidanude tunda vali labhaye karna krodha vidambini gadanude karna abhude vyasprahaam. That when I started hearing the word Krishna in my ears, Rupa Goswami says that it starts dancing in such a way that I would like to hear again and again with millions and millions of ears. Tunde tanda vidim radim vidanude tunda avali labdhaye karna krodha vidham bini gadayade karna abhudebhyas praham cheda prangana sangini vijayade sarvendriya nam krida no jane janida kriyabdiramide krishne di varnadvayim. That these two letters Krishna, cheda prangana sangini vijayade, when it gets into the heart, what change that brings in? All the senses immediately stops its function. Why? Because they become so inert that they cannot function anymore. The senses stops its activities. The heart is becoming so blissful. Cheda prangana sangini vijayade sarvendriyanam kridam no jani janida kriyabdhiramrade krishnayedi varnadvayim. That these two letters of Krishna, the potency of Krishna, the word Krishna is so powerful that Rupa Goswami in his books in Padyavali, he talks about it very strongly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was listening to this description of the word Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated this explanation of the word Krishna by Rupa Goswami. So that is how this name ceremony happened to Krishna. So after this name game ceremony was over, Garga Muni left the home of Nanda Maharaj, and he started moving away from there. So that has happened almost a year when Krishna was a year old, and this incident is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 8th chapter of the 10th canto, which we will read now.
Gargapurohido Rajan Yadunam Sumahadavam Vrajam Jagamanandasya Vasudeva Prajodidaham Tam Drishtva Paramaprida Pratyuthaya Kridanjali Anarchoda Chajariya Pranivada Purasaram Subavishtam Kridadithyam Girasunurdayamunim Nandayitva Bravid Brahman Purnasya Karavamagim Mahatvijalanam Nranam Grihinam Dina Chedasam Nishreyasaya Bhagavan Kalpade Nanyadha Kuchil Jyotishamayanam Sakshatyajnanam Adindriyam Pranidam Bhavadayena Puman Vedaparavaram Tum hi Brahma Vidam Shrestha Samskaran Kartumarhasi Balayor Anayor Nranam Janmana Brahmano Guru Shri Gargavacham Yadunam Hamacharya Khyatascha Bhuvisarvada Sudam maya samskritam de manyade devaki sudam kamsa papa madhi sakhyam tavachanaga dunduve devakyam ashtamo garbho nastri bhavidumarhari iti sanjindayam shrutva devakya dharika vaja abhihanda gada shangas tarhidanno nayo bhavel shri nanda uvajam alakshidosminnakasi mamagairabhivo vraje kuridvijadi samskaram sustivachana bhuvagam shri shuga uvajam evam samprartido vipra Sujagirshirame Vadal Chakara Namakaranam Gudho Rahasi Bhalayom Shri Gargavajam Ayam Hirohini Putro Ramayan Sukhudo Gunai Akhyasya De Rama Idi Baladikyal Balamvidum Yadhu Nama Pradak Bhavad Sangarshanam Shandudam Asan Varnastra Yohyasya Grihnado Niyugam Tanu Shuklo Rektas Tathapidam Idanim Krishnadam Gadam Pragayam Vasudevasya Kujijjadasthaval Majam Vasudeva Idi Shreeman Abhityasam Prajakshade Bahuni Sandinamani Rubani Jasudasyade Gunagarmani Rubani Taniham Vedano Janaham Yashavashraya Madhasyad Gopago Gulanandana Anina Sarvadurgani Vyamanjastarishyadam Purani Namprajavade Sadhavodasyupididaham Arajagirakshyamana Jigyurdasyun Samedhidaham ഏതസ്മിൻ മഹാഭാഗ പ്രീതിൻ കുറുവന്തി മാനവാ നരയോഭിഭവന്തി വിഷ്ണുപക്ഷാണി വാസുരാഹ തസ്മാൽ മന്ദാത്മജായന്തി നാരായണ സമോഗുണൈ ശ്രീയാകീർത്തി അനുഭാവേന ഗോപായസ്വ സമാഹിതാഹ ഇത്യാത്മാനം സമാദിശ്യ ഗർഗേജ സുഗ്രഹം ഗതേ നന്ദപ്രമുദിതോ മേനേ ആത്മാനം പൂർണമാശിഷാം കാലേനം വ്രജതൽപേന ഗോകുലേ രാമകേശവോ ജാനുഭ്യാം സഹവാനിഭ്യാം രിംഗമാണോ വ്രജഹൃദൂഃ താവംഗയുഗ്മമനുഗൃഷ്യ സരീസൃബന്ധോ ഘോഷപ്രഘോഷരുചിരം വ്രജകർദ്ദമേഷു തന്നാദഹൃഷ്ടമനസാവനുസൃത്യ ലോകം മുഗ്ധപ്രഭീരൂപേ അതുരന്തിമാത്രോഃ തന്മാതരോ നിജസുതോ ക്ഷണയാസ്നുവന്ദ്യോ പങ്കാംഗരോ അതരുചിരാ ഉപഗുഹ്യ ദുർഭ്യം ദത്വാസ്തനം പ്രവിവദോ സ്വമുഖം നിരീക്ഷണോഗ്ധസ്മി അൽപദശനം യയതു പ്രമോദം ർഷണീയകുമാരലീലാവന്തർവ്രജേതലാഹീതുച്ചൈവത്സൈരിതസ്തുഭാവനികൃഷ്യമാണോ പ്രേക്ഷന്തമുൽചിതഗൃഹ ജഹൃഷുഖസന്ധ്യാഹ ശൃംഗ്യാഗ്നിദം സ്ഥിതിലജ്ജലദിജഗണ്ഡഗേഭ്യ കാലേനാൽപേന രാജർഷേ രാമകൃഷ്ണശ്ച ഗോകുലേ അകൃഷ്ടജാനുവി പദ്ഭിർ വിചിക്രമധുരഞ്ജസാം തദസ്തു ഭഗവാൻ കൃഷ്ണോ വയസ്സേർവ്രജബാലകൈ സഹ രാമോ വ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം ചിക്രീടേ ജനയന്മുദം കൃഷ്ണസ്യ ഗോപ്യോരുചിരം വീക്ഷ കൗമാരചാവലം ശൃണ്വത്വാഗ്ലതന്മാതു ഇതി ഹോജുസ്സമാഗതാഃ വത്സാൻ മുഞ്ചൻ കുചിത സമയേ ക്രോസസഞ്ജാതഹാസസ്തേയം സ്വാദ്യത്തി അതതരിവയക്കൽപിതൈ സ്തേയയോഗൈ മർക്കാൻ ഭോക്ഷ്യൻ വിഭജതി സജേ നാതിഭാണ്ഡ്യം ഭിനത്തി ദ്രവ്യാലാപേ സഗൃഹകുപിതോ യാചുപക്രോശ്യതോകാൻ ഹസ്തഗ്രാഹ്യേരജയതി വിധിം വീടകോലോലുഖലാധ്യേ ചിത്രം അന്തർനിഹിത വൈന ശക്യഭാണ്ഡേഷു തദ്വിൽ ദ്വാന്ധാകാരേ ധൃതമണികണം സ്വാംഗമർത്ഥപ്രദീപം കാലേ ഗോപ്യോയർഹി ഗൃഹകൃത്യേഷു സുവ്യഗ്രചിത്താഃ ഏവം ദാർഷ്ട്യാനുഷരി ഗുരുദേ മേഹനാദീനി വാസ്തൗ സ്തേയോപായേ വിരചിത കൃതി സുപ്രതീകോ യഥാസ്തേ ഇത്തം സ്ത്രീഭീ സഭയനയന ശ്രീമുഖാലോകിനീഭീ വ്യാഖ്യാതാർത്ഥ പ്രഹസിതമുഖി അഹ്യുപാലബ്ധുമൈച്ചൽ ഏകേദാ ക്രീണമാനാസ്തേ രാമാദ്യാഗോപദാരകാം കൃഷ്ണോമൃതം ഭക്ഷിതവാൻ ഇതി മാത്രേ ന്യവേദയൻ സാ ഗൃഹീത്വാകരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഉപാലഭ്യഹിതൈഷിണി യശോദാ ഭയസംഭ്രാന്ത പ്രേക്ഷണാക്ഷമഭാഷതാം കസ്മാൻ മൃതമദാന്താത്മൻ ഭവാൻ ഭക്ഷിതവാൻ രഹ വദന്തിതാവകാശേദേ കുമാരാസ്തേ ഗ്രജോപ്യയം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ വാചാമഹം ഭക്ഷിതവാൻ വസർവേ മിഥ്യാവിശംസിന യതി സത്യഗിരർസ്തർഹി സമക്ഷം വശമേ മുഖം യദ്ദേവം ദർഹി വ്യാദേഹി ഇത്യുക്തസ്സ ഭഗവാൻ ഹരി വ്യാദത്യാവഹദൈശ്വര്യം ക്രീഡാമനുജബാലകാഃ സാ തത്ര ദൃശേ വിശ്വം ജഗത്സാസ്മിജഹം ദിശ സാദ്വിദ്വീപാബ്ധി ഭൂഗോളം സവായ അഗ്നീന്ദുതാരകം ജ്യോതിശ്ചക്രം ജനം തേജോ നപസ്വാൻവിയദേ ച വൈകാ അതോ യഥാവണ്ണ വിതർക്ക ഗോചരം ചെയ്തോ മനഃക്കർമ്മ വചോഭിരഞ്ജസ യഥാശ്രയം യേന യത പ്രതീയതേ സുദുർവിഭാവ്യം പ്രണദാസ്തി കൽപദം അഹം നമാസോ ഉപദ്രേഷമേ സുതോ വ്രജേശ്വരസ്യാഖില വിത്തവാസതി ഗോപ്യശ്ച ഗോപാസഹ ഗോധനാശ്രമേ യന്മായേത്തം കുമതി സമേ ഗതി ഇത്തം വിദിത്തതത്വായം ഗോപികായാം സ ഈശ്വര വൈഷ്ണവീം വേദനോന്മായാം പുത്രസ്നേഹമയീം വിഭവം സദ്യോ നഷ്ടസ്മൃതിർഗോപി സാരോപ്യാരോഹമാത്മജം പ്രവൃത്ത സ്നേഹങ്ങളിലെ ഹൃദയാസീദ്യതാപുരാം തയ്യാജോപനിഷദ്ഭ്യ സാംഖ്യയോഗൈശ്ച സാത്വതേ ഉപഗീയമാന മാഹാത്മ്യം ഹരിം സാവന്യതാത്മജം രാജോവാച നന്ദകിമകരോ ബ്രഹ്മൻശ്രയമേവം മഹോദയം യശോദാജ മഹാഭാഗാ പവോ യസ്യാസ്തനം ഹരി വിതരോ നന്യവിന്ദേ നാം കൃഷ്ണനാരാപകേഹിതം ഗായന്ത്യന്ത്യാഭികവയോ എലോ എല്ലോകശമലാപഹം ശ്രീശുഗവാചാം ദ്രോണോ വസൂനാം പ്രവരോധയാ സഹ ഭാര്യ കരിഷ്യമാനമാദേശാൻ ബ്രഹ്മണസ്തുമുവാചഹാം ജാതയോർണോ മഹാദേവേ ഭൂയി വിശ്വേശ്വരേ ഹരോ ഭക്തി സ്യാ പരമാലോകേ യാഞ്ചോ ദുഗതിം ദരേൽ അസ്തി ഇത്യുക്ത സ ഭഗവാൻ വൃതേ ദ്രോണോ മഹായശ യജ്ഞേന്ദ്രമിതി ഖ്യാതോ യശോദാ സാധരാ ഭവൽ തദോ ഭക്തിർഭഗവതി പുത്രീ ഭൂതേ ജനാർദ്ദനേ ദമ്പത്യോർ നിതരാമാസിൽ ഗോപഗോപീഷു ഭാരതാം കൃഷ്ണോ ബ്രഹ്മണമാവേശം സത്യം കർത്തും വ്രജേ വിഭു സഹ രാമോവസം ശക്രേ തേഷാം പ്രീതിം സ്വലീലയ ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ ശമസ്കന്ദേ പൂർവാർദ്ധേ അഷ്ടമോധ്യായ
സോ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി സ്റ്റോറി ഓഫ് കൃഷ്ണസ് ക്രിസ്റ്റനിങ് സെറമണി ബട്ട് ദ സെയിം ചാപ്റ്റർ ആക്ച്വലി ഓൾസോ കവേഴ്സ് കൃഷ്ണസ് പാർട്ട് ഓഫ് ദി ചൈൽഡ്ഹുഡ് പാസ്റ്റ് ടൈംസ് And those pastimes, is there is so much there that many of the great devotees have expanded those pastimes of Krishna, the childhood pastimes, referring to Srimad Bhagavatam as well as the Garga Samhita. And many of those pastimes have come to the knowledge of the world through these great devotees, through Krishna Kadamrita and so many other books. But actually, to speak about those pastimes, there is so much time required, because these pastimes, what Krishna has performed in his childhood in Gokul and later on in Vrindavan, in the house of Yashoda Devi and in the house of the different gopis, they are, Sri Shugan says there, that it will take years and years for him to talk about it. That is how much time he wants to talk about Krishna's childhood pastimes. So, which we'll talk another week, but today if there's any questions or comments.
For the naming ceremony, how was he referred?
Sorry?
For the naming ceremony.
Yeah.
How was he referred?
Before Krishna, before the ceremony. Yeah. Krishna was referred as a baby at home, like without he hadn't had a name. And Yashoda used to call Krishna whatever affectionate names she felt in her mind. But specific name Krishna was given after almost a year. Till then, Nanda Maharaj was obviously addressing him as his darling in all circumstances. He was his darling. And Yashoda Devi and the gopis who associated in the early days with Krishna, they showered him with all sorts of names. Whatever they loved him, their affection and love was coming through those names. And it was Gargamuni's good fortune that he was able to give this name to Krishna, because it was Krishna himself inspired from within that this is the name he wants. And so that's why this ceremony is a very important ceremony in Krishna's babyhood, because when the name Krishna is given, there are different different commentators have said this, that it was not name was given as Krishna, it was given as Krishna Krishna. Twice it was mentioned by Gargamuni. And the reason for naming it twice was that the second word Krishna actually refers to Radharani. That Krishna is never alone, Krishna is always with Radharani. And even if you read Garga Bhagavatam or Garga Samhita, you will find there that when Krishna was deciding, when Krishna decided to come to this world, Radha Devi told Krishna that I will find very difficult here on my own. Krishna said, no, you are coming with me. But Radharani put the conditions that Govardhan Hill, Kalindi River and Vrindavan should accompany with him all the way to this material world. And that is why so much vast land in Vrindavan and Mathura was considered to be transmitted or transferred from the spiritual world to here. And that is how Gargamuni explains this in the Garga Samhita. In the beginning, he says in the first few chapters itself that along with Krishna and Radharani, the whole spiritual world, part of that spiritual world itself was transmitted to Vrindavan and to Mathura. And that's why that place has got that specific potency, that automatically the personalities who are born there, generally they have the natural Krishna consciousness tendency in them without being injected from outside.
You talked about the only love really is,
yes,
is real love is for,
yes,
Krishna.
Only for Krishna, yes.
Yeah. What about the love experienced between disciple and spiritual master? There's certainly a form of love there, isn't there? What is that?
The relationship between disciple and spiritual master is not purely love. It is actually spiritual masters. The disciple feels gratitude to the spiritual master for saving him from material life, from material consciousness. So it is more of gratitude. And that gratitude, a disciple is not actually loving the spiritual master in the same sense that disciple feels great gratitude to him for picking him up from this materialistic way of life and bringing him the spiritual understanding of life. So that gratitude is always giving him the encouragement to serve him. It is from this gratitude that he is serving the spiritual master, that somebody has done something, a great favor to you in this life. It's natural. Any one of us, if somebody has got a given you a great relief from this materialistic life, material miseries, you feel that relationship. But eventually it should never become love, because if it becomes love, there will happen that a certain amount of familiarity will develop. And with that result, what will happen is that relationship will suffer. In the sense that spiritual master doesn't lose anything, but for disciple's benefit, he should not feel that familiarity with the spiritual master. Because if he feels that familiarity, then that respect, what is required within his mind, will go away. He will feel more closeness, and that closeness is not good in the spiritual life. So you will notice that when in many instances Prabhupada used to often remind the disciples never to feel so free with him, always to feel that distance from him. That it doesn't mean that Prabhupada doesn't like his disciples, he loves the disciples. All the disciples also liked him very much. It is because of that gratitude inside the mind. And when that gratitude is there, they will serve him. But always they have to bear in mind that he is the spiritual master and they are the disciples. So, but the relationship with Krishna is different. Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although he is Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has given an opportunity for the devotees to enjoy him. And that enjoyment is this childhood. This whole childhood activities he meant for enjoyment. That how he played with the gopis, how he teased them, how he reciprocated their love towards him. Because gopis didn't know that he was Supreme Personality of Godhead or anything. All they knew that he was a nice baby at the house of Yashodamayi. And this baby was giving them enough trouble. And just like normal mothers, they were reacting to him. They were asking him to do all sorts of things. You will find they were asking him to bring the shoes. And Krishna used to carry the shoes of the gopis and bring him out, keeping it on their head. And Krishna has virtually become their servant in the house, in their house. So that relationship is different than between a spiritual master and the disciple. So we have to understand different relationships all have different mellows in there. But Krishna's relationship with the gopis is purely love. Love means love without any reservation. They simply loved him because he gave them enough opportunity to understand him and enjoy his childhood with them. So gopis were very, very fortunate. And did the gopis learn anything? Gopis never touched the Vedas. Gopis never touched Bhagavad Gita, nor Srimad Bhagavatam. They have not studied anything, any of the books. They have not performed any great sacrifice. You cannot hear anywhere gopis performing any big sacrifice. Gopis have not performed any austerities either. The only austerity you find gopis have performed is one. It is in the Srimad Bhagavatam mention, Kartikeyani Vratam. 41 days they performed austerity, a penance to please Kartikeyani, goddess Kartikeyani, to get Krishna as their husband. And that is mentioned there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the only thing what the gopis have done. Yeah. Tenadhita shudigana nopasida mahattama avrada tapta davasa falsangan maam upagadaha. Srimad Bhagavatam says there that these gopis who have not done any of the other things which normally anyone in the spiritual life will normally do, they will study the Bhagavatam, Vajrasri, the Bhagavad Gita, and they will perform so much austerities and penances, fasting, so many things to advance spiritually. But these gopis have not done anything. And Krishna says they are the topmost devotees. Why? Because they had their love was pure, so pure in their heart. Their attachment for Krishna was so strong that through that love and affection that Krishna has stolen their heart. And they were back in the spiritual world again. So this is the difference between our relationship with the spiritual master and our relationship with Krishna. Krishna gives an opportunity for that devotee who wants to understand Krishna through these childhood pastimes. He can really understand what is, how much Supreme Personality of Godhead can come closer to you if he wants it. That's what it is telling us.
You mentioned quite a few times yesterday, he wanted to know how the children were growing up, Balaram and Krishna.
Yeah.
So he sent his priest who then gave the name-giving ceremony. But I was just wondering, because you've already mentioned that Vasudev by this time was freed from the prison house.
Mm-hmm.
So was he not anxious to go to the house himself and visit?
Actually, no. Vasudev was free from the prison house, but Kamsa had kept a very tight control on him, on his movements. And Vasudev could not go freely anywhere. Vasudev was instructed that he should stay there, and he could stay in the palace, in the Kamsa's palace. And because he is also related to Kamsa, Kamsa was very suspicious, and Vasudev was sensible enough to know that his any move in the wrong direction will bring trouble to his baby. So he was aware of that.
So you never had a relationship between the spirit.
Yeah.
What type of, I mean, you say,
love should
be
self-explicit to Krishna.
What type of relationship are many members supposed to have, which are the
beach? Say that again, please.
You said love should be self-explicit to Krishna.
Correct, yeah.
So what type of relationships are entities supposed to have with each other, be wife, children?
Oh, yeah. With family and relations and all that, material attachment we always have. That is with us. It is a part of us. We cannot separate it out. But always, even while executing the activities at home with the family and the children, one has to be, the mind should be attached to Krishna. This is in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes also in the commentary there, that although we have, like a woman who is married to a husband, if she has got a lover separately, she will do her work at home carefully so that the husband does not find out that she has another relationship elsewhere. So similar to that, our attachment is to be for Krishna inside the heart, the real attachment for Krishna. At the same time, our activities in this material world, we have to do it what the situation demands. In other words, in family relationship, we have certain attachment for wife and children and all that. But that attachment, we have to be always conscious of the fact that eventually that will only bring distress to us. It is not going to bring happiness. And when a householder, particularly to the householder, this is addressed to, this particular, because brahmacharis and sannyasis, they do not have this sort of attachment to this world. Householder's life is that they have family relationships, and then when somebody is very active in householder life, he will have a lot of big society, friendship and love and all these things. And this can actually take away a lot of his time. And instead of developing the attachment for Krishna, if all the time is spent in developing this attachment to this society, eventually it will only bring destruction to himself. And that is what Srimad Bhagavatam is saying. Sri Shivan is also saying that whatever love, whatever affection we have in our heart, it's only for Krishna, nobody else. Because any love given to anyone else in this world, eventually what we will get back is distress. And that is not even with this. Prabhupada has quoted so many examples in this case. He said, take about the big leaders, he said. Mahatma Gandhi, he loved his country so much. What did the country give him at the end? They sent him back to with one gunshot. That's what his end was. Kennedy, he was giving an example in America, that Kennedy was always talking about doing everything for America. And what happened at the end in Dallas, he was shot in one day. And his life was so. America, he said, America is still lying there. Where is Kennedy, he said. So this is the reality of this world. Material life is like that. No matter how much we try to be sincere in our material relationship, no matter how hard we try, ultimately it will bring us unhappiness. And this is why the great sages and great Acharya says that material life has distress in it is mixed with it already there. And you cannot separate on pure happiness you can't find here in this material world. It is from this point they are trying to bring it down.
What about relationships with devotees, people who are getting in their life?
Yes, relationship with devotees in the sense, they all have a role in our life as far as, and our, if it is helping us to advance in our spiritual life or understanding or developing our love for Krishna, that's good. As long as it's helping us to develop that love for Krishna. Because generally, devotees will remind us of the need to develop spiritual life. That is what the main thing is associating with devotees means. It will always remind us, oh, here is a nice devotee. When you see that nice devotee, you also want to go in that direction. So they are doing you a favor by associating with them. So, but on the other hand, if that relationship goes into a material level, then it has no meaning. The only thing is, only in a spiritual level only, we can associate with devotees also. And it is that spiritual relationship that develops Krishna consciousness. Whatever that is helping to develop Krishna consciousness within us has to be taken, and everything else has to be rejected.
Correct,
yeah. Bhagavad, yeah.
Why wasn't Sukadeva Goswami, was he not empowered to write about
Radharani's first name? No. Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Srimad Bhagavatam under instructions from Sri Narada Muni. And Srimad Bhagavatam covers the whole creation from beginning to end. It is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Not only Krishna's appearance and Krishna's pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam talks about all the previous appearances of Krishna. Malsim, Kurmam, Varaham, Narsimham, Vamanam, all the different incarnations also are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? To establish that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. With that intention, Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. That was the intention of writing Srimad Bhagavatam, to establish Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to elaborate that point, he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. But Garga Samhita, Garga Bhagavatam only refers to Krishna. Krishna's appearance, Krishna's pastimes in this world, and Krishna's relationship with the devotees, nothing else. That's all in the Garga Bhagavatam. And that is also almost all the same size as Srimad Bhagavatam in the verses. And but the difference is, Garga Bhagavatam tells you a lot more about the childhood pastimes of Krishna, which you may not find in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And also most of the names of Krishna's friends, the gopis, their names, they all come in the Garga Bhagavatam. And it is probably from Garga Bhagavatam that all this information has come through to the Goswami's literature later on.
Krishna, yeah. He's got so many names already.
Yeah.
So he knew that Krishna was
the
Supreme Personality of
Godhead. He knew, yes. Narayana Samogunai. There is a verse just now I was reading. Narayana Samogunai. In qualities, he is Narayana himself. He knew, he was aware of that.
But he didn't say that.
Because he has come as Krishna now, he has to read the horoscope based on the time and appearance and place of birth. And he read that out. But in his mind, he was aware that Krishna has appeared actually even to kill Kamsa. He was aware of that.
Okay. And you said about the gopis that they didn't have to do all this stuff up there, but they did in previous times.
They did, yes. That is why they had everything in. They all come with Krishna at the same time to participate in the pastimes. Actually, it's mentioned like this that they were Upanishads personified. In other words, Shruti Charis, they are called. The different Upanishads personified, there is one group of gopis. Some of them were women from the heavenly planets. Some of the gopis were the women from the heavenly planets. Some of them were the sages, great sages, Krishicharis. These sages, when Lord Ramchandra was going into the forest, he arrived in Bharadwaja Muni's ashram. And two times Lord Ramchandra visited Bharadwaja Muni's ashram. One, while he was going from Ayodhya to Chitragudam and to down to south before he gone into the war. That time he went to Bharadwaja Muni's ashram. So when Ramchandra came with Sita Devi and Lakshman to Bharadwaja Muni's ashram, Bharadwaja Muni received him and gave him a reception in the forest, just like in a forest how you will receive somebody with some fruits from the trees, and asked him to sit down on the ground with the normal way, like the facilities what you have in the forest. So at that time, so many other sages also arrived there in the same ashram to see, along with Bharadwaja Muni, they received Sri Ramchandra. And they requested Ramchandra that they get an opportunity to associate with him later on, another time. Ramchandra said to them that in this lifetime this will not happen, but in the next lifetime, when I come again here, you will get that opportunity to associate with me closely. And this is why those sages who requested Ramchandra at that time, they came as gopis in their life, in this life, to associate with Krishna. So a group of gopis are from the heavenly planets, a group of gopis are from the Upanishads personified, or they are known as the Shrutacharis, Devacharis and Krishnacharis. the three names given to them. So that's all we have.
You're talking about the correct time when Krishna was actually born, but he came from the prison house. So how did they actually get the correct time? Vasudev took him from the prison house to Yashoda's. So how did they get the time?
They have calculated actually based on the time when the announcement was made to Nanda Maharaj by the gopi who came out of the house of in his own house, that when Krishna's appearance time is calculated, not the time appeared in the from the prison, but from the time he appeared in Nanda Maharaj's home.
Okay.
That's the time used for calculations. But it is immaterial, because for us all these calculations mean something, because our material body and our situation is such that we are controlled by all these things. In Krishna's case, one who controls all the planets and universes, what relationship has he got in as far as this astrology is just a formality. Basically, Krishna was more interested in only one thing in all this, to tell the gopis not to give him trouble when he comes to break their pots. That's all he wanted to get through these things. And that is why all this horoscope reading, everything was done, just to get that license for him to do what he wants. So otherwise Krishna, he said in the beginning, Gagamani said, a person who has neither birth nor death, what horoscope can I read?
Yes.
This was the question he asked. Kathamasya nama gurve sahasra namno ananda namno va. What am I supposed to give him a name? What am I supposed to read his horoscope? Because birth and death, all these things is a relationship to us. But this is a formality in the material world, that a child is born, all the samskaras is done in course of time. And Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda requested Gargamuni to do it, because they were living in this material world and they were a part of the society, the social necessities they were performing. That's all the importance is. Apart from that, there's no significance.
I just got one more question.
Yeah.
You were talking about the Ramayana, and Sri Ram knew that he's coming again, and some elevated devotees also knew that. Have they actually mentioned the name Krishna?
No, there is clear evidence in the Bhagavatam and Ramayana that the Ramachandra and Krishna is very, very closely related. I can give you one or two points on this. Valmiki said to Ramachandra, Ramachandra told Valmiki to come back to the spiritual world. Valmiki said, no, I will not go to the spiritual world. Why? Because Valmiki was very upset. Uttara Ramayana, if you read, you will find there that what Ramachandra did at the end was not a very nice thing. It's not criticism of Ramachandra. This is what happens. There it says, in the Ramayana it says like this, that when Sita Devi was, a remark was made in the street by a washerman, that Sita Devi has gone and stayed with Ravana and Ramachandra has accepted him back again into the palace. You know the story?
Yes.
That, yeah. And when this comment was made, it reached in the ears of Ramachandra. And Ramachandra, being so much sticking to the moral and moral principles, he decided to banish Sita Devi from home. Although Sita Devi has gone through the Agni Pariksha, through the fire she walked in and showed her purity, Sita Devi has never been touched by Ravana. But in spite of that, Ramachandra did that. Why? Because he did not want to hear any bad word spoken by anyone in the kingdom. That was the Ayodhya standard at that.
Yeah.
Compare about the standard today. You can talk anything you want about anybody, and they have no shame, we also have no shame. This is the funniest thing of the whole scene.
Yeah.
That, and it's also in the Ramayana, it's very interesting. When you read through these things and compare the time we are living today,
yeah,
you can see the condition is so different. That at one stage it says there, when Ramachandra was so much concerned about maintaining that standard in his kingdom, when he walked out of the Ayodhya, he was smiling. Sumukha Subrata, that's how he is addressed there. He was smiling. And why? Because Ayodhya's opulence at that time was so high. To leave Ayodhya and walk out like that, you need a lot of strength, courage to do that. But Ramachandra had that. He didn't have any difficulty in doing that. So when he was walking out, all the people were crying, saying that, oh, Lord Ramachandra is leaving the kingdom. And they wanted him to be, they had loved him so much, they wanted him to be their king. And Ramachandra was smiling. Look at today. when we pull out some politician from their position, we are all laughing and he is crying, I lost my place. Just see the difference. Now our leaders today, no matter where it is, it's all over the world, it's the same. Yeah. When they come out of their position, after 5 years or 10 years what they got there, when they leave that position, they are crying, oh, it's finished for me now, when can I get back again? He is crying. And here Ramchandra was laughing. And we, when he, after 10 years when he's pulled down, we are all laughing, oh, now it's all over, we get another one there. And we start the next series of fun. So anyway, this is the difference in the Ramchandra's way of thinking and our way of thinking.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ramchandra was sticking to this. So eventually, when Ramchandra took all the people along with him back to the spiritual world, he told Valmiki to come along. Valmiki said, no, I won't come till unless and until I see Sita Devi with you, I am not going to come back to spiritual world. Ramchandra told Valmiki at that time, that will not happen in this. I will be coming down again. At that time, this will happen. And that is why, when Rukmini was married to Krishna, the Brahmana who brought that message to Krishna, that Rukmini wants to marry Krishna, that Brahmana is Valmiki, actually. That Sundara Brahmana, as it is referred to in the Srimad Bhagavatam, who brought that message from Rukmini Devi to Krishna in Dwaraka, is actually this Valmiki himself. And that is being confirmed by all the acharyas. And there is a strong relationship between Krishna and Ramachandra in that way. That in that particular appearance as Ramachandra, there are certain things he stuck to. He stuck that I will have only one wife and I will stick to these principles. But when he came as Krishna, and there were others like Jambavati, Jambavan's daughter, Jambavati. Jambavan wanted to marry his daughter to Sri Ramachandra. But Ramchandra, Jambavan was his associate, isn't it? In the Ramayana war,
yes.
He has helped him a lot, and Jambavan was a very, very powerful personality. So he wanted to marry his daughter Jambavati to Ramchandra. Ramchandra said, no, in this lifetime it's not possible, but in the next one time I come, you will still live at that time when I come back. So when Krishna married Jambavati later on, Jambavati is one of the 8 major wives of Krishna, Ashtamahishis they are called. Rukmini, Satyabhama, Lakshmana, Bhadra, Satya. Like that, there are 8 wives. Out of one of them is Kalindi and Jambavati. And this Jambavati was married to Krishna. So when Jambavati is married to Krishna, Krishna mentioned to Jambavan that I have now kept my promise, what I promised you in the Tridayuga. I kept now that word true in Dwapara Yuga. So after so many years, Krishna has not forgotten the word he has given to Jambavan. He accepted that by marrying Jambavati in the
but Ramachandra never actually revealed he's coming. He revealed that he's going to come back. He never said, I'll be coming back as this name, Krishna.
He never said that, no. Yeah. But he said, I will be coming back. But Jambavan realized who Krishna is, because when Jambavan started fighting with Krishna, what he saw was Ramachandra's face there. And so from there you can see that this is a pastime of Krishna in a different form. Ramchandra was another pastime. Although time-wise it's such a big gap between Ramchandra and Krishna.
Was Ramchandra's skin color a bit different to Krishna's?
Yes.
Was it green or something?
Durvadhara Shyamala Kovalan, that is how it's mentioned there. He is a little bit more bluish.
Who's more bluish?
Ramchandra.
Ramchandra's
color is... they are more or less in the same color, in the sense, but is lighter actually than Krishna. Krishna is as a dark cloud, they refer to Krishna's color. But Ramachandra was equally beautiful like Krishna. Actually, Tulsidas didn't write Ramayana. What he wrote is Ramacharitmanas. It's not Ramayana. So Ramacharitmanas is a devotee's feelings for Ramchandra. He has written the story of Lord Ramchandra in a poetic form. So it's a poem more than a Ramayana in that sense. But Ramacharitmanasam is referred to as Ramayana by many people. Prabhupada never said anything like that. What Prabhupada said was, that original Ramayana is Valmiki's Ramayana. It is from there. There are so many versions of Ramayana in different languages, and in Sanskrit itself there are so many different versions. But whenever we refer to Ramayana, it's referred to as Valmiki's Ramayana. Prabhupada also quoted Tulsidas many times in his lectures, various things what Tulsidas has said in the Ramcharitmanas. He never spoke anything in another way. But Prabhupada's important was that we worship Krishna. So Krishna consciousness was the message what Prabhupada was stressing through.
In that respect, I've always felt that not reading the Ramayana, because there's no time to read such things, for me anyway, but I thought I was maybe not going to get the full appreciation of what I should. You know, what's your
feeling? Ramayana is actually a story of tears. If you read through Ramayana properly, you will find everything from beginning to end. You cannot leave that book, your tears will come from your eyes, because Ramchandra is sticking to the religious principles on the one side, and on the other side, the Sita Devi's difficulty, what she was going through, born as a princess in a very wealthy family, the life she had to go through, the difficulties. And at the end, when these two boys were born, Leva and Kusha, these two boys, they were taught Ramayana by the sage Valmiki. And Uttara Ramayana, there is two parts in the Ramayana, the later part, Uttara Ramayana, there Sita Devi's disappearance from this world, handing over these two boys to Valmiki to look after. All these parts, if you read through, you will feel it very touchy. It is Ramayana, no doubt, will bring out that personality of Lord Ramchandra, that how truthful and how even today, after how many years now, Ramchandra's time, we are now talking about something like Tredayugam, in the middle of Tredayuga, Ramchandra appeared. Dwapara Yuga is 864,000 years. 864,000, yeah. So 864,000 Tredayugam, 5,000 years in the Kali Yuga, 869,000 years. And half of Tredayuga, Dwapara Yuga is 864, 5,000, 869, and half of Tredayuga. We can talk about over a million years it is now since Lord Ramchandra has come and gone. Even after so many years of time, even today, those who have read Ramayana, they still think that Lord Ramchandra's administration may come back to this world than any of the all other administrations what you have seen since then. Why is that? It is because that his administration was so perfect that, can you imagine a king when he is leaving this world, taking everybody back to the spiritual world? Who else can do this? They will put us into so much misery before they leave in this world. This is the kings what we have today in this world. And this is the difference between Lord Ramchandra and the other lords of today, what we have. That was their capacity. This is the Supreme Personality of God when he comes down. And he offered liberation to everybody. And he said, took everyone to Sarayu River and told them that while immerse yourself, and when they got up, they were in the spiritual world. This is the administration. And that is why, in spite of so many millions of years, even today, when people read Ramayana, they think that let Lord Ramchandra come back and rule us again. So that material miseries and distress, what we are experiencing today in this world, may go away. And eventually we go back to the spiritual world. We don't have to have this continuous anxiety of living in this world all the time in one form or the other.
Should we read Ramayana? It's sort of like part of the question.
No, Prabhupada said no. If you read all books, it's not going to get very far. But Prabhupada said you stick to two or three books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. If you read, because Ramayana comes in the Bhagavatam. Sri Shukan says the whole story of Ramayana in the Bhagavatam, in a very briefly, before Krishna's appearance. It says in the ninth canto. So there, at the end, if you read the ninth canto, Lord Ramchandra's story as spoken, Sri Shukan uses one word there. What he says is that after hearing Lord Ramchandra's story, is tears coming from your eyes? This is the question he is asking. Is tears coming from your eyes? If tears are coming from your eyes, you are back in the spiritual world, he says. He gives a guarantee there. Because Lord Ramchandra's life and story is so much, brings so much memories of that good times, what he gave to the people at that time. And not only that, he also says there that Janaka, King Janaka, who handed over Sita Devi to Lord Ramchandra, he was not only fortunate, he was a householder. You have to remember, Janaka was a householder. And because Sita Devi was married to Lord Ramchandra, all the members of that family, they will always be householders, but at the same time, they were all liberated souls as well. Janaka is one of the authorities among the Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kabilo, Manu, Prahlada, Janago, Bhishma, Belim, Vayasagim, Vayam. Out of the 12 authorities on the Bhagavad Dharma, Krishna consciousness, Janaka is one of them. And this Janaka had the good fortune of marrying his daughter Sita Devi to Lord Ramchandra. And because of that, all the members who appears in that family of King Janaka dynasty, in the solar dynasty, including him, were all self-realized souls. And they were all householders as well at the same time. So this is the thing. Sri Shukan mentions all these things in the Bhagavatam. So everything is there in the Bhagavatam. You may not have to read Ramayana specifically for that.